So I know when you're driving up and down the highway, you see a lot of billboards, don't you? I mean, and they advertise just about everything. Unfortunately, there's some billboards that some of us men have to do this, and we just can't look at them because of whatever is being advertised in big, bold parts up on this billboard that we don't need to see. But there's billboards all over the place that just advertise everything. So I was thankful that when billboards started to pop up around the county that just had that simple message, pray, God listens. In the midst of all of the other garbage that we are inundated with, even on the highway, isn't it nice that we're reminded every once in a while, you know what? Here's something we need to remember. Pray, God listens. And so this morning, I want us to think about that. But as I saw that billboard, I thought, well, that's true, absolutely. God does listen. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's not all that he does. Pray, God listens, but there's more that God does than just listen. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time just talking about what happens when we pray. And this morning, I want to begin by encouraging you, no matter how much you pray, I want to encourage you to pray more. And as we think about praying more this morning, I want us to think about why do we need to be praying more. And I want this morning to encourage you. This morning, I want to build you up in your faith in God. I want to build you up in the love of God. I want to build you up in your total trust in the God of heaven. And when you leave today, I want you to be determined, you know what? I'm going to pray more. And I don't know how much you've been praying, but can we pray more? I would guess that you can. So I don't know if you all saw it. You may not have recognized it. I left right there on the pew next to all of you an imaginary sticky note. Did you get it? Did you get your imaginary stick? Robert, you got your mat? I left one on the pew for everybody. So if you would you reach over and pick up your imaginary sticky note? Everybody, there's plenty out there. You can share them. So I want you to pick up your imaginary sticky note. Blaze, you got your imaginary? Okay. You got your, all right, here's, I want you to write. Get your imaginary pen. I want you to write on your imaginary sticky note, I pray this much. Okay, you got your imaginary sticky note? I pray this much. And then I want you and your imagination to fill in the blank. How much do you pray? You got it in your imagination, right? What did you put in the blank? And whatever you put in the blank, can we be challenged this morning? We need to pray more. And so the question today is, why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more? For some of us, we may say, well, I'm just too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you are too busy. You need to rearrange some stuff, right? Some of us may say, well, I'm just too distracted. There's too many things going on. Somebody may say, well, you know, I'm too discouraged. You know, just things have not been going well. And you know what? I'm just kind of doubtful. I'm just kind of doubtful that God is even doing anything. I pray about stuff and my imagination, in my mind, nothing happens. Is that why you don't pray more? Why don't we pray more? Is it because we're too self-reliant? I can take care of it. I won't bother God with this. Are we too self-sufficient? You know, I'm good on my own. God, I'll bring you the big stuff. I'll take care of the little stuff. Why don't we pray more? Is it maybe because we don't know how? We're not sure what we're supposed to do when we pray? I want you to allow that thought to just kind of bounce around in your head. Why don't I pray more? And as you think about that question, I want you to think about the question of what should I be praying about? You know, when you think about how am I supposed to pray, what sort of thing should I pray about? And I think sometimes maybe we make prayer too complicated. I don't know, maybe we don't. But I wonder sometimes if some people make prayer too complicated. Do you know what prayer is? You know the simple definition, talking to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. So it is like you are having a conversation with God. Some of you are very good at conversation. Some of you could have got a PhD in conversation, right? I mean, some of you could have gone to the Olympics in conversation and gotten the gold medal, all right? So all prayer is we're having a conversation with God. What do you talk to other people about? Here's some things when we pray, here's some things we ought to talk to God about. Number one, we ought to talk to God about Him. Before we do anything else in prayer, we ought to talk to God about Him. I want you to think about, in this last summer, we had in our summer series a theme on the great prayers of the Bible and some of the prayers that they prayed. I want you to think about some of the great individuals and their prayers. Think about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Think about Nehemiah throughout the book of Nehemiah and how often he prayed, especially that prayer in chapter 1. But forget, even more than chapter 1, that prayer in chapter 9 of Nehemiah is the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. Think about Mary when she heard the news from the angel about Jesus and her prayer. You know what all of these prayers have in common? These prayers have in common that these individuals talked to God about God. They told God how wonderful and how awesome He is. When you start to pray, talk to God about Him. Think about Revelation 4 and 5 and how those in the very presence of God, when they talk to God, guess what they talk to God about? They talk to God about God. They tell God how marvelous and how wonderful He is. Do you ever tell God that? You know, certain people, are you familiar with the five love languages? Five love languages, one of the love languages, certain people, one of their love languages is words of affirmation. They like to be told they're doing a good job. They like to be told how much they're appreciated. Well, if there's certain people, where'd they get that idea? Where'd they get that love language? God wants to be told by you what you think of Him. Be honest. Tell Him how awesome He is. Has God been good to you? Now, after you talked, and these next two are not in any particular order. In fact, I'd probably flip these next two, but the first one's right there where it needs to be, talk to God about Him. But after you talk to God about Him, then you can talk to God about you. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be anxious for how much? How much can I be anxious for? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God about you. What's going on in your life? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, cast your cares upon Him. Whatever's going on, big or small, cast your cares on Him. Talk to God about you. Tell God what's going on in your life. He already knows. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but that's okay. It helps you to talk to God about Him. It helps you to hear yourself telling God how awesome He is. And it helps you to hear yourself talking to God about you, pouring your heart out to Him. What do I need to pray about? Talk to God about Him. Talk to God about yourself. And then talk to God about others. And again, I'd probably flip these last two in order anyway. Talk to God about other people. Do we talk to other people about other people? I mean, maybe that's too personal of a question. You know, do we have a problem talking about other people? Generally not, right? When we talk to God, should we talk to God about other people? What kind of people? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, you know what Jesus says. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you pray for people who are not nice to you? Do you pray for people who apparently may hate you, want to do you harm? What does God say? Don't hate them back. Don't do them harm back. God says, pray for them. You know why? Same reason you need to pray to God and talk to Him about Him. You need to hear that. Talk to God about you. You need to hear that. Talk to God about your enemies. You need to hear yourself say that. Because when you hear yourself pray for somebody else, it can change how you think about that person. But not just praying for your enemies. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says we need to pray for one another. I love this church. I love that this church is a church that is a church of prayer. a church that loves to pray, a church that loves to pray together. I love the fact that when we stand up and we make announcements and we talk about people who are dealing with the loss of a loved one or dealing with some physical ailment or dealing with some other thing that's happening in the hospital or whatever it may be, that we want to hear those things because we want to pray for one another. I'm thankful that many of you, when you get the bulletin and an email every week, that you'll open it up and you'll go and see, who do I need to be praying for this week? We have our family prayer on Wednesday nights where we get to turn in on Wednesday nights. Whatever's going on, and you know, here's a request that anybody has on Wednesday night, we turn them in and we pray about that together. We pray for others. When you pray to God, don't make it too complicated. When you pray to God, don't make it too rigid and ritualistic. When you pray to God, make it personal. Talk to God as your Father in heaven. Talk to God in an intimate conversation in a way that you have a close bond with Him. Don't talk to Him like He's a stranger. Don't talk to Him like He's somebody you haven't met before. Don't talk to Him like He's somebody in a far-off room. He's sitting right there with you. We need to pray more. And as we think about praying more, not only do we think about what we need to pray for, but when should we be praying? And you think, well, okay, I'll be praying here. When should you pray? And obviously, you can make up a list of when we should be praying. But there are some of those scheduled times, those regularly scheduled times when we pray. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says that we need to pray for the food that we eat. Is that a regularly scheduled time? When you eat food, do you need to pray and give thanks to God? 1 Timothy 4 says you need to. So, but for some of us, that might be our only regularly scheduled time. But at least that's a regularly scheduled time where we talk to God. Daniel chapter 6, how often did Daniel pray? 3 times a day. Psalm 55, how often did David pray? Morning, noon, and night. So we need to have on our calendar, as it were, on our daily list of activities. You might list, I've got to get this done, I got to get this done, I got to get this done. There ought to be a regular part of our daily life, every day, that we pray to God. And we won't take anything for that time. Maybe it involves getting up a few minutes earlier. Maybe it involves finding a quiet place in the house. I know sometimes with young children, that's hard, right, Christian? Christian Dubinson's got like 40 kids at home, right? So, I mean, it's hard finding a quiet place, but you can find that quiet place and talk to God. When do I need to pray? At those scheduled times. But sometimes there's unscheduled times. There are those unscheduled tough times. When Peter was sinking in the water in Matthew 14, did he look at his watch and say, oh, I'm not going to be praying until sundown tonight. Well, I guess I'll just have to wait. Did he wait until a scheduled time to pray? Immediately, what did he pray? Did he pray a long prayer? I mean, Peter's prayer in Matthew chapter 14, was it a long prayer? I mean, did he start out talking about God, how great you are, and talking about praying for others, and then finally get to talk about himself? No. In an emergency situation, guess what he did? Lord, save me. Shortest prayer in all of the Bible. When you get in some tough times, you know what you need to pray? Lord, please help me. Those four words ought to roll off your lips or at least off of your heart every day. Lord, please help me. It's what Peter prayed. Unscheduled, tough times. Lord, I need your help. But are there unscheduled times that are not tough? Are there some unscheduled good times where you need to pray to God? When Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, heals those 10 lepers of their leprosy, but they continue to go away. The Bible says one of them came back to say thank you. Was that on his schedule that day? When he made out his to-do list that morning, did he put on his to-do list, I'm going to thank Jesus later? No, he didn't know he was going to do that, did he? Well, when something good happened, he said, you know what? I need to give thanks. When those unscheduled good things happen, we need to give thanks. And you know what the Bible says. I just need to pray all the time. Not that I always have my eyes closed and my head bowed, but I need to be in such a communion with God that I can talk to Him at any moment. I see that in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah just bursts into prayer randomly throughout the book. You know why? Because he had been talking to God all day long. It wasn't anything for him just to throw another sentence at God when something came up. We need to pray, have our hearts open in heaven's direction, and notice how many verses. You know, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but all of these verses say we need to be praying all of the time. Jesus told a parable about prayer in Luke 18, and the Bible says he told this parable about prayer so that men would learn that they ought always to pray. So first thing I want you to think about this morning when we leave here today, I need, however much I've been praying, you remember your imaginary sticky note, I pray this much. And however much you wrote on that imaginary sticky note, I want you to leave here today and say, you know what, I need to pray more. But when we pray more, here's what we need to understand. God listens. We're not just talking into the air for us. We're not just talking to there so that we can hear us. We are talking because we know that God listens. But this morning, I want us to leave here with the recognition that He does much more than that. Last week, I talked about the fact that if we're going to get the gospel out into this world, that we need more of our young men becoming preachers. So this morning, I'm going to ask some of our young men here to help me with this sermon. They're going to help me get to preach the rest of this sermon this morning. Because I want us to leave here today. Remember what I said at the beginning. I want your faith built up. I want your love in God built up. I want your total trust in God built up. And so when we leave here today, I want us to know, not only do I need to pray more, but that God listens and He does even more than that. God does that, and we're going to fill in this chart over these next couple minutes. We're going to do it quickly. These boys won't preach as long as I do. We need to pray more, number one, because God is. And I know that short little sentence may not make a whole lot of sense to you, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible talks to us about faith. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But I need to believe, when I come before God, I need to believe that He is. When I am praying, I'm not praying into the air. The air doesn't care about my prayer. I'm not praying, you know, into a room. The room doesn't care about my prayer. I'm praying to the One who is. Not that He was, and He's a has-been. Not that He will be, and I've got to wait for Him. He's the One who is right now. He's the ever-existing God. He's the One that I pray to. But what does He do? When I pray, does God listen? Yes, God listens. But God, as we think about filling in this chart, God does more than just listen. Quintel, come here. Quintel, what else do we need to know about God when we pray?
God knows.
God knows. What does that mean? God knows. When I pray, God knows what. Do you know? Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Look at the verses that are on the screen. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. As you're going there, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, the eyes of God run to and fro over all of the earth. Think about that. God's eyes are running everywhere. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. But look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. What do we need to know about God that Quintel has shared with us this morning when it comes to the matter of prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8? Here's Jesus talking. He says, don't be like these hypocrites, for your Father knows the things you need. When does He know them? Even before you ask. Your God knows what you need. He doesn't know it because He heard you say it. Oh, I didn't know Nicole needed. That's a good thing she told me. God knows you need it even before you ask. Aren't you thankful that you serve a God who's not surprised by what you need. You serve a God who knows. Griffin, I need your help. What else does God do when we pray?
God inclines.
Say that again.
He inclines.
God inclines. I gave that word to Griffin because I knew Griffin would be able to handle it. God inclines. That's a weird word, isn't it, Griffin? God inclines. What does that mean, that God inclines? We know what recline means, right? That's what we're looking forward to doing this afternoon, is reclining. What does it mean that God inclines? Well, turn your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 3. You're not going to see the word inclines over in 1 Peter chapter 3, but you're going to see the concept over there. And as you go there, you remember all of these verses, and there's more in the book of Psalms, where the psalmist would pray, God, incline your ear to me. What does that mean, incline your ear to me? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, where Peter's talking about, if you want to love life and see good days, here are some things you need to do. You need to pray. Look at verse 12, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are what? Open to their prayers. What does that mean? The word that's used there is literally this idea of inclining. It's as if God is doing this. Do you ever do this? When you get older, you're going to do this more, okay? When you get older, this is going to be your position, all right? You're like, what'd you say? When you go to a busy restaurant and you're sitting there and you can't, what'd you say? What does it mean that God inclines? God bends himself over. Has somebody ever been talking to you and you just kind of ignored them? Don't admit this, okay? Just think in your head the answer. But, you know, somebody's talking to you, but you were just kind of not giving them any attention. All the time, guess what God's posture is to you? All the time, God is leaning over. He's leaning in. He wants, that's what the word inclines means. God wants to hear you when you pray. He's not bothered by you. He's not ready to ignore you. God inclines himself in order to hear you pray. I didn't give this one to anybody because they would have said, well, it's already up there. God listens. That's what the billboard says, but we understand that. God hears us. He doesn't just incline. He doesn't just lean over. He doesn't just maybe cup his ear as we might have some visual idea. God listens. Is there a difference between hearing something and or hearing somebody and listening? Husbands, yes, there's a difference, husbands. There's a difference between hearing what your wife says and listening to what your wife says. You can hear something, but not really be listening. And that happens all the time, right? Listening means God's tuned in. God's paying attention. God has quieted heaven, as it were, to hear you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, John says, this is the confidence that we have. Here's the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Every time he hears us. I was going to tell you to go over to Psalm 18, and I forgot to tell you that. But here's what Psalm 18 and verse 6 says. Psalm 18 and verse 6, as David talks about God, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple. My cry became before him even to his ears. Your God inclines his ear to you. Your God listens to you. Coming back here, I saw Jonah. Oh, there he is. All right, Jonah. I need to know, what else does God do when we pray?
God cares.
Does he? Can you listen to somebody but not really care what they're saying? Don't answer that question out loud. God cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says what? Cast all of your cares upon him. You take your cares and you cast them on him. Why? Because he cares for you. You read what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus says, do you not know how much God cares about you? He cares about the birds. And if he cares about the birds and what they do, don't you know that he's going to care about you? Are you of not much more value to God? I want you to think about, does God listen? Yes, God listens. But God knows what I need even before I ask him. And when God knows what I need, he inclines his ear. He listens to me. He cares. I got to go all the way back to the back to get Madden for this. God, Madden, what does God do when we pray?
God can.
He had one of the shortest ones. God can. Do you ever ask somebody to do something, but they can't do anything about it? What about God? God can't. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. You probably already have Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21 underlined in your Bible. You probably have it highlighted. You probably got it marked because it's your favorite verse. What does it say? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When you pray and talk to God, you need to know that God can. God is able. All right, I'm going to stay back here. Merritt, what else does God do when we pray?
God works.
God works. Do you know somebody who can do something, but they don't? Do you know somebody who knows and they listen, but they don't do anything? Do you trust God that He works? The verse is on the screen in James chapter 5 and verse 16 is the verse that tells us we need to be praying for one another. But it's the verse that says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? It avails much. It works much. What's doing the working? My prayer? What's doing the working? My God. When I pray, my God can. When I pray, my God works. Sebastian, you ready, buddy? Sebastian, what else does God do when we pray?
God gives.
God gives. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Look at those verses that were read earlier, but verses that you know. Jesus says, ask and it will be. Was Jesus kidding? Ask and it will be given to you. Do you believe that? He goes on to talk about a father and how a father, when his son is in need, is he going to give his son some kind of a stone or some kind of a scorpion to eat? No, when he sees his son in need, he's going to give him what his son needs. And Jesus' point is in verse 11, don't you know that your heavenly Father is going to give and take care of you too? Do you believe that? Your God knows what you need. He listens to your heart, and He's a God who can do something about it. He's a God who will do something about it. Our God works. Blaze, what else does God do?
God helped.
God helps. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says that we need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you ever do that? We need to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Here's the end of verse 16. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Your God helps you. Maybe one of your favorite verses, maybe one of your favorite psalms is Psalm 46, where the Bible talks about our God and how He is a very present help in time of trouble. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Your God not only listens, your God is ready to help. Robert, you've been visiting with us for a while. What else does God do, Robert?
God delivers.
God delivers. Turn your Bible to Psalm 34. Look at these verses. It's all over Psalm 34. Putting the mic down for just a second. Get your Bibles. Go over to Psalm 34 while I'm turning. And I'll put the mic back on. What does Psalm 34 tell us about our God? It's all throughout this psalm, but we're just going to look at a couple verses here. Look at verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of how many? All of his troubles. Look in verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. Does your God take care of you? Is your God there for you? Does He know what you are going through? Verse after verse after verse, the Lord delivers you. The Lord gives. He is constantly ready to hear what you are saying so that He can answer your prayers. Levi, what else does God do?
God stays.
God stays. That one may catch you. That one may be like, what do you mean God stays? Psalm 145, verse 18, the Bible says, the Lord is near to those who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. When you pray, the Lord is near. And when you pray, the Lord stays right there with you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't say, well, I've got another appointment. I'll see you later. Draw near to God and He will draw near unto you. He will never, ever, 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 ever leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you have that kind of faith in your God? Do you have an understanding of how much your God loves you and how much your God is willing to do for you? Now I've got to come all the way back to this other side. And as you think about what God knows, what God cares, when you think about how much God is ready to listen and to help you and to deliver you, Rod, what else does God do?
God sympathizes.
God sympathizes. I had to give the longest word to Rod because I knew he could handle it. God sympathizes. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 talks about our God, talks about Jesus, how He was tempted. But it says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses. It's this idea of God cares, but it's the same concept that here's Jesus, our mediator when we pray. He's our high priest, and He knows what it was like to be a human. When you pray to the Father, and Jesus is your mediator, He's your intercessor in that prayer, He is the one who knows exactly what it's like to face what you're facing. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're like, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You've never been through. You don't know what it's like. Guess what? When you talk to God with Jesus as your intercessor, He knows what it's like. He sympathizes with what you're going through. David, what else does God do?
God comforts.
God comforts. Some of you know this to be absolutely the case. In Philippians 4, that verse that said, let your requests be made known unto God, the verse that starts, be anxious for nothing, and you're like, how can I be anxious for nothing? I'm anxious about everything. God says, hang on a second. Take your anxiety, your cares. What do you do with all of your cares? Take your anxiety, give it to God, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, how does the Bible describe the peace of God in Philippians 4 and verse 7? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What does that mean? You can't understand it. You can't explain it. You can't wrap your head around it, but you know it's there. That comfort, that peace is there for you. Isaiah 40, Isaiah talked about God, talked about how God will carry Israel in His bosom. Your God cares about you. He wants to comfort you. Your God strengthens you when you pray. You feeling weak? That verse says that He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Are you feeling weak? He strengthens us. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, Isaiah said, fear not, for I am with you. God says through Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. And then the very next phrase, He says, I will strengthen you. In Psalm 37, verse 24, says, though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. You ever seen a little kid learning to walk, and they keep falling down? Mom and dad walks over and holds their hand. You know, have you noticed how much better that little kid can walk when they're holding mom and dad's hand? Though he fall, not going to be utterly cast down, because God upholds him with God's hand. Are you holding God's hand like a little child holds his mom or dad's hand? You ever feel weak, feel like you're going to fall down, feel like you can't go any longer? Whose hand are you holding? The Bible says if you hold on to God's hand, He's going to be there. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. Joshua, what else does God do? What else does God do?
God rewards.
God rewards. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that God rewards. He said, don't be praying like these individuals out here on the street corner trying to get their reward so that people can see them. You pray in secret. And your God who sees in secret, He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you whatever you need. And it's not going to be perhaps what man wanted and that attention that man wanted, but you're going to get the attention of God. He's going to do, and so in Hebrews chapter 11, you need to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You need to believe that when you pray, God acts, that God rewards. I know you've been coming a long time with us, buddy. What else does God do?
God forgives.
God forgives. Aren't you thankful for that? 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, what does it say? He'll put us on probation. If we confess our sins, when he finds around to it and he gets around to it, then he'll see if he can. What does it say? If we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some of our unrighteousness? Most of our unrighteousness? All of it. Aren't you thankful that when you pray, God listens? But God does more than that. God forgives us. Nathan, what else does God do when we pray?
God runs.
Say it loud.
God runs.
God runs. In Luke chapter 15, there was a father whose son had gone to the far land. And when he saw his son coming to him, the Bible says that he ran to his son. It's a picture of what your God does when He sees you coming. He doesn't say, oh, no, not Bob again. All right, Bob, what is it this time? No, God runs. And He didn't run over there and cross His arms and say, all right, Jeff, you going to get it right this time? That's not what did the father do? Fell on his neck and kissed him. That's your God. Your God listens when you pray. And when you pray, He runs over to hear you. And He forgives you and He wants you back. That's your God. You think about how much your God does for you. You think about how much we pray. And our challenge this morning is we need to pray more. Caleb, what else does God do when we pray?
God overflows.
God overflows. What does that mean? In James 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, where do you get wisdom? Amazon? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, what's God going to do about it? Who gives to all, you know what the next word is? Liberally. Your God gives and gives and gives and gives, and He overflows in His giving. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus says, give. And what's going to happen? It's going to be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over is going to be put in your bosom. You pray to God, and you trust your God that He's going to answer you. Lucas has got the last one down at the bottom. And I added to this, Lucas, but what does God do for us?
God knows best and does best.
God knows best and God does best. Do you trust that that's the case? When Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What does that say? God knows better than you do. And God will do better than you will. But you've got to put your trust in Him. You've got to trust the God who says that those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, He's going to work all things together for your good. Do you trust God's definition of good better than your definition of good? You might like your definition of good, but do you trust his definition of good? Do you trust that God knows best and he does best? You know why? Because he wants best. Do you believe that? God wants best for you. 1 John chapter 4 talks about how much God loves you. And the word that's used there for love means that God wants what is best for you. That's why he gave the best in giving his son, sending him down to this earth for us. As you are here this morning, first thing I want you to think about is how much do we pray? Should we not pray more? And when we pray more, I want you to think about what our God does. I want to thank these young men for helping me preach this sermon this morning. I hope some of them will become preachers one of these days. They did a good job this morning. They kept it short. That was the favorite part of some of you. They preach short sermons. I hope some of them will become preachers one of these days. But even more than that, I pray that the words that they said about their God will stick inside their soul for the rest of their lives. And may that be the case for all of us. To build our faith, build our love, build our total trust in our God. As you think about your relationship with God, the question this morning is he your Father? Jesus said that when we are to pray, we are to pray to the Father who is in heaven. But the question is he your Father? He can only be your Father and only be called your Father if you are his child. If you have done what the Bible says to do in order to become his child. The Bible says in order to have a right to become a child of God, John 1 verse 12, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't become a child of God through faith, but I'm given the right, I'm given the authority to take the next steps that are required. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you made up in your mind and your heart a determination that says, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. I want to repent of my sins, turn my life in the direction of God. If you've made that decision, maybe you made that decision right now, says, I need to get my life right with God. Then you can do what they did in the New Testament in order to become a child of God. You can confess the faith that you have in Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized. Not baptized because you've already been saved before and now it's a good thing for you to do, but baptized so that at that moment you can be saved by the blood of Jesus. So that at that moment you might become a child of God as a part of his family and have him register your name in heaven. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, there's warm water here, towels and garments ready for you to do exactly what Alicia and Dario did the other day. You can do it today. Give your life to him. Be raised to walk in newness of life, walking faithfully with him, holding his hand. 1 John 1 and verse 7. Knowing that if you have something come into life and you trip and fall, he's not going to let go of you. You might let go of him, but he's not going to let go of you. As long as you walk with him, he'll uphold you. He'll strengthen you. And he'll incline his ear and be ready to listen to you every time you pray. If you're not a child of God, if you're not a faithful child of God this morning, why don't you get your life right now as together we stand and sing.